I want to share a word with you today, coming out of Psalms 37, verse 23. Very familiar passage, and maybe you've heard it recited occasionally, or you've heard it before. But I want to really break this thing down to where we can get a clear understanding of what this particular scripture is saying to us. Amen? Praise God. Psalms 37 and 23. The steps of a good man. Somebody say good man.
Good man.
Are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. The good man is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, sometimes people get that twisted. You can just stay on 23. Go back to it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. So, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. This passage tells us that what God is promising is not an uneventful life. There will be difficulties along the way. In fact, at times the believer looks as though he will be defeated and utterly cast down. But we have the promise of the Lord that he will pick us up and start us again on our way. So it says, I'm just reading some scriptures to go along with this just to kind of get it started. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What a promise. So God's word is true. If our steps are ordered by the Lord, we will never be forsaken, nor will we suffer want, such be until the Lord's called us home. So that's Hebrews 11:35-40, if you want to just check that out and see if I'm coming out the Bible. But in Psalms 37, it was written by none other than David. And you got to understand that at this particular time when David wrote this particular psalm, said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You can go back and do some research on the life of David, and some of the steps that he took wasn't always good. But in this Psalms 37, it was right at the twilight of his life, and he is writing from the perspective of experience and his experience of knowing God and walking with God. And sometimes we find ourselves, even though we know God and we walk with God, some of the steps that we take is not of God because we choose to walk on our own accord. But the steps of a good man. See, what makes the good man is the good man because you know that there's none righteous, no, not one. And so it's nothing that's good inside of you. I'll get with that in a minute. But he says, in effect, looking back at his life, a life of great victories and great failures, it has been said, and rightfully so, that one never really learns anything about themselves when victorious. But it's in the failure that one is forced to look deep in their heart and see who they really are and what they are. See, when everything going good and everything fine and everything peaches and cream, you don't really get to look at yourself. But when things go bad and some decisions need to be made, we find out really who we are. We find out, do we really have faith? We find out, or do we really trust God? We find out if we're really going to make a decision. We find out if we're really going to have integrity. I'm talking about a good man. And we find out that through these victories, everything is good. But when we go through the valley experiences, when we go through the trials and the tribulations, oh, some things begin to surface. I was thinking about that there's things that's in the inside, because there's no good thing in us, the flesh that is, that deep down in the abyss, see, that's way down, you know, like the abyss in the ocean. That's way down at the bottom. But what I'm saying is sometimes we have some things in the inside of us because of depravity. And we got things deep down on the inside of us that we didn't. attention, these things begin to surface up. And even before those things surface up, we'll say to ourselves or say to somebody else, I'll never do that. Maybe you ain't never said that. I'll never do that. I'll never say that. I'll never act like that. I'll never cuss somebody out on the phone. I'll never get mad and do this, that. I'll never talk bad to my wife or look down on my wife. I'll never. See, that's that thing that's way down in the abyss that you didn't know, because there's no good thing but the steps of a good man. Somebody say a good man.
A good man.
So, if one could sum up the true meaning of this psalm, it would be God's ever-abiding faithfulness to his children. We fail, we stumble, we doubt, but never forget, you may fail a test, but you still can pass the course. See, I don't know. I know when I was going to college, boy, it was some difficult subjects. And I'm like, man, I didn't like the grade that I got. And maybe I had got a failing paper, but the course wasn't over. Oh, there it is right there. But the course wasn't over. And sometimes the steps that we're taking, we experience some failures, but it says those that endure to the end. See, you got to keep, somebody say, keep on going.
Keep on going.
See, because the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So we grow discouraged in our journey of life, but never forget, you may fail a test, but you can still pass the course. That is what David's life shows us. Let's break down this passage. Got it typed up in here. Y'all get me, I'm having technical difficulties. The word steps means ongoing, the way one goes, one's direction. All of these meanings portray to us the path of life. The way one goes means one going or one direction. The idea is that when one gives their heart to the Lord, they embark on a journey that is planned, willed, and ordained by the Lord. So the Lord has a specific plan for every one of his children. We were not saved just to be getting saved.
That's right.
See, there should be some things that should accompany your salvation. I read that in the Bible somewhere. I believe it's in Hebrews. There should be some things that should accompany your salvation. We're not only getting saved because we want to live in eternal heaven, but we get saved because we want to be doing the things that God has already willed and ordained for our lives. Those are the steps. See, because it's God that's willing or both to do of his will and do of his good pleasure. It's not our own step. It's not by our own accord. Because he says, lean not to thy own understanding. Here go the steps. Lean not to thy own understanding. You can find this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge God in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. In other words, he shall direct thy steps. But when you lean on your own understanding, you're going to go through some pitfalls. And not saying that while God is ordering your steps, you're not going to go through something. Because do you remember Paul? Paul thought he was doing things that he was supposed to be doing, and actually he was leaning on his own understanding. He thought, yeah, he knew the law. Yeah, he was educated. Yeah, he studied with some of the most educated men on Mars. All these things right here. But he was going down a path that wasn't ordered by God. But God stopped him on his way to Damascus. Does this make any sense? And so the steps that he was taking was on his own accord, but God had to stop him and give him a new vision so he can walk in the steps that God had already ordained to him. And God assigned him specifically to the Gentiles. But while God was ordering his steps, that didn't mean that he wasn't going to go through anything, because he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was left in the deep. He was bit by a snake, or what was it, a snake or an adder, whatever it was, but it was poisonous. And the Bible says that he shook it off, and people was looking at it, waiting for him to die. But the steps was all by the Lord, and it wasn't all peaches and cream, but God still had his adversary, but when they came down in the dungeon to talk to him, he said, it's cold down here in this dungeon. Just bring me a cloak and some parchments so I can keep on walking in the steps that God had already ordained for me. And he wrote almost a third. He wrote a third of the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
But his steps were hard. Some of them have the steps of the Lord.
The steps of the Lord.
Oh, man. And I thought about that. I said, my God. Because people have a misconception that when I get saved, I ain't going to never go through nothing.
Yes,
but that's not true. Even when you get saved, you're probably going to go through more than anything than when you wasn't saved. Because, I shouldn't have got saved. Because see, like, when I got saved, stuff started happening. That's where it's supposed to happen. Because your steps are being ordered. It seemed like when I got saved, like, I couldn't do the thing that I was. Well, because your steps are ordered. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm giving you some new steps now.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
So, the Lord has a specific plan. And even Paul didn't know what that specific plan was, but he thought he knew. And God gave him specific steps that he needed to take. First, he had to change his vision, his outlook on how he looked at things. So he gave him a new set of eyes. I don't know if y'all interpret it like that when you read it. Let's look at it in Acts chapter 9. And what happened was he blinded him because the eyes that he was looking through, the lens that he was looking through, was taking him on the wrong steps. So he had to give him a new vision. And the Bible says that he blinded him, I believe, for 3 days. And he gave him specific steps to take. And he told him to order him to go see a man. And he had a guide to take him to the man. And the Bible says that the scales fell off his eyes. But when the scales fell off, he started walking in the ordered steps. And when he was walking in the ordered steps, the people that seen him, the Bible said that they was reluctant. Because ain't this the same man that took us in front of the Sanhedrin court and was doing us and was doing kick downs and pulling us because we were serving God? Is this the same man? And they stayed back in the cut and they watched him to see what it was up. But his steps, somebody said, but his steps was ordered. And since his steps was ordered, he kept on abiding in God. And God kept on pushing him. And God kept on sending him places. And God was sending him on missionary trips. And God was sending him to open up church because his steps was ordered. But while he was going down the step that God had already willed and ordained him, he still went through some things. People were literally trying to take his life. So the Lord has a specific plan for every one of his children. Never forget that the Lord is the great shepherd and we are his sheep. And as the true shepherd, he desires that his sheep be taken care of and protected. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. I don't care in the midst of the crowd. I don't care in the midst of the noise. I don't care in the midst of the tribulation. I don't care in the midst of the trial that you're going through. If you just stay close to God because your steps are ordered. He already know the thoughts and the plans that he have for you. And thoughts are good. And even in Jeremiah, he already knew that Jeremiah was going to be a prophet. Because it was already ordained for him to be a prophet. God has a specific plan for each and every one of us. But we got to let it order our steps.
Your will
be done, God. So when I get saved, I'm ready to do the will of the Father. Not taking my own steps. What steps you going to take? What steps I'm going to take? I'm going to wait on God to order my steps in him. So
a good man
is the person whose sins have been cleansed by the Lord, whose faith is solely placed in who Christ is and what Christ has done for us on Calvary's cross. So when you think about this, the true good man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in reality, there is no good whatsoever. Here it is right here. There is no good whatsoever in any of us. Romans 3:10 plainly states, as it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. The goodness or righteousness the believer has is imputed to him by the Lord through faith. Let me read to you what imputed. I had to look this up. I already knew what it meant, but I wanted to break it down where we get on. So, imputation is used to designate any action or word or thing as reckoned to a person. Thus, we talked about credit.
Yeah.
So, our credit was no good because there's no good thing in us. So, we had bad credit.
Yeah.
So, we had to have somebody with good credit to be able to do for us on our behalf, right? So when you think about this, it says, thus in doctrinal language, the sin of Adam is imputed to all his descendants. That is, it is reckoned as theirs, and they are dealt with therefore as guilty. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to them that believe in him or attributed to them to be considered their own. So it's not by my own righteousness. See, because my steps got my righteousness messed up. I don't have no righteousness because there's no good thing in me. So I had to have something that was righteous. And Christ, what he did on the cross, was put on our account. In other words, it was imputed to us to make us righteous. So now that it's imputed to us to make us righteous because we got it from the good man, because there's no one that's good, not one, but Christ is good. And so now we needed an imputation to be put on our behalf, to put on our account, to take us from not being righteous to righteous. Does that make any sense? So that's why Christ is actually the good man. He's the one that makes us good because of his righteousness has been imputed to us. Did you get it?
Yes, sir.
So when you think about this, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to them that believe in him or attributed to them as being considered their own. And our sins are imputed to Christ. That is, he assumed our law place, undertook to answer the demands of justice for our sins. And so what happened was, he took on all our sins. He said, let me wipe the slate clean to make you not guilty. See, because you ain't no good, but since I stepped in on your behalf, now I'm going to make you good. Now I'm going to make you righteous. Now I'm going to make you justified. Now I'm going to make you sanctified. And it's only through Christ that has made us justified, that has made us the good man. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's what makes us a good man. That's what makes us a good woman. That he put it on our account, because our account was messed up from the fall. And Adam, everything that Adam did was imputed to us. That's why the land was cursed. That's why man was cursed. That's why the devil already know where he going. So we're going through some hard times. Somebody will say, but the good man. So everything that we're going through, it's not saying that we're not going to go through trials and tribulations. We're not going to have no hardships. We're not going to go through no valley experiences. But the good man makes us righteous. And if we just continue to allow the good man steps to be ordered, then we're going to go and make it to our destination. We're going to do what we need to do in ministry. We're going to treat people like we're supposed to treat them. Because of the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word ordered means established, which in the Hebrew means decree, to make good, to ordain, to succeed, to raise up. Do I need to say that again? If anybody wanted to write that down. The word order means established, which in Hebrews means decree. That God, that Jesus Christ himself, that because of what he did on the cross, that as a decree went out for our righteousness sake. And now that this decree went out, we have been established in Christ Jesus. And now that we went from bad, he made us good. And now that we weren't ordained, now we're ordained. And now that we were unsuccessful, now we're successful. And he's raising up a people, Steve, that's going to be sold out and truly allowing God to direct their path. And if you notice in that scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that it didn't say one, it didn't say path. It was plural. It said path. It got an S on it. Now, if your Bible ain't got no S on it, they must be in a type print. They didn't print it right. Because we go down many paths, but the paths that you go down, let God do it. Somebody say, let God do it. We get impatient and we try to order our own steps.
Yes, we do.
We get in the way.
Yes, we do. Yes.
And God say, I got this.
Yes, sir.
He say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He say, enter into my rest because I want to order your steps. He say, the load wasn't even meant for you to carry. That's why I want to carry it for you.
Yes.
See, I'm going to take the load off of you, and you carry it around because you ordered your own step. You got your own mule you done yoked up with. He said, but I want you to yoke up with something that's going to carry you, that's going to guide you, that's going to lead you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So the word order means establish, which means, Hebrew means decree, to make good, to ordain, to succeed, to raise up. The Holy Spirit, through David, is stating that the journey of our lives has been decreed, ordered, ordained by the Creator of the world. That's how much he loves us. He loves us enough to plan out every step of your life, my life. That doesn't mean there will never be trials and tribulation, for just as the natural sheep at times strays from the shepherd, so do we, as spiritual sheep, stray from our heavenly shepherd. You know, a shepherd, what they do is they carry around a pouch. And I don't know what the term is, but that's why David had a pouch. And that's how he put those five smooth rocks in there, because David was a shepherd. And sometimes when they was going on the journey, Brother Boone, that sometimes some of the sheep would get out of line and they would try to go down their own steps. And what they'll do was he will reach into his pouch and he will pull out a rock. And he will throw, you know, sheep, they get scary real easy. Because there's so many things that though I walk in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My rod and my staff, they are with me. So what to do, what happens is the shepherd, he protects the sheep from all the bandits. They went into the clefts of the rocks and you had bandits and all that kind of stuff. And wild animals that was trying to take away the sheep. But the shepherd had his rod and his staff with it. And what he would do, he would protect his sheep. And sometimes when the sheep get out of hand and they try to go down with their own step, he'll reach into his pouch. I know I'm saying something. And he'll reach into his pouch and he'll throw the stone and the sheep will get back in line. And when the rock go over there and it'll startle them, he'll say, hey, and they'll get back and they'll remember that their steps are being ordered. Sheep out there. Yeah, because you're getting out of line. You're not following the steps. I want you to stay in formation because I'm trying to lead you to the shelter of the valley of death. So you ain't got to fear nothing because I'm the one that has ordained you. I'm the one that's guiding you. I'm the one that's leading you. But in spite of our failures and shortcomings, the Lord will not cast us aside. He has our best interest at heart. Not Sister Butterbean. She might tell you any kind of way and get you off step. You'll be off beat because you've been listening to Sister Butterbean and Sister Butterbean got you. Yeah, it don't take. No, yeah, it take all that and more. I'm going to lift up my hand. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to keep on doing what God tells me to do because I know that my life has been ordained. And I used to be bad, but since he imputed his righteousness unto me, now I'm good. Say the steps of a good man. Are ordered by the Lord. You know, Peter and the disciples, they was shepherd. And he said, cast your net on the other side of the ship. And when they cast the net on the other side, he said that they pulled in a boatload full of fish. He said, but now what I'm going to do, I know that's the step that you wanted to take, and you thought that's what you was going to be doing the rest of your life. But what I'm going to do is make you fishermen of men. Because I'm changing the step, because they're being ordered now. And the disciples, they didn't ask the question. They dropped everything that they had. See, we got to learn how to drop off some things if we want our steps to be ordered. And God wants to order some things for us, but we want to hold on to things that God said that's not in the steps. Moses was on the other side of the mountain. He had killed a man, and it was already in his heart concerning injustice. And he seen the injustice that was being inflicted on the people that he didn't know then, but he learned out that that was his own people. See, because God had already ordered his steps when they put him in the Nile. And oh man, look how God ordered everything and made it where his own mama could still nurse him. And he thought that that's all he was going to do. He was on the other side of the mountain, tending to some sheep and animals and all that. But God said, man, I ordered your steps when they was trying to kill you when you was a baby. And he said, you're not going to be on this other side of the mountain all the time. I got some steps that I done already planned out for you. You are ordained to bring my people out of captivity. And he tried to make excuses. Y'all must have read your Bible. He was making excuses, saying, man, I can't even talk. But his steps were altered. I don't have eloquent to speak, man. Be quiet. I got your steps ordered. I got people that's going to be there. And even his father-in-law told him, say, man, come here. His father-in-law, Jephtho, had wisdom. And he was telling him how to run a mega ministry. He said, man, I tell you what, man. Get you some people that's going to help you out. Some people with integrity. Some people that's not going to fall off. Some people that's going to stay on with you. Abraham. His steps were ordered.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir.
And it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. Because he believed God. That's what the Bible says. It said that it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake because he believed God. And God told him to go to a place that he knew not. He said, man, leave everything behind. Even your kinfolk, when they mess itself, you can't take them. But even life says, man, something going on. God must have ordered this man's step. I'm not going to miss out on this. I'm going to go with him. And Lot came with it, but his steps were ordered. And he sent them to a place that he didn't know not. His steps were ordered. And even when he tried to get out of steps, when he was listening to his wife, Sarah, when she was lagging within herself, when God had made a promise to him, if God promised her, he going to bring it to pass. And he started walking in his own step. Yeah, Ishmael came forth, but that wasn't the promise. Because his steps were ordered. What about Jonah? Jonah, you going to do? I done already ordered your steps, Jonah. Where you think you going? You're not going nowhere. You're going to go and you're going to tell these people what thus says the Lord. And the Bible says that he tried to run because he didn't want to walk in the steps of God. And the Bible says he got swallowed up by a big fish, a whale, or whatever you want to call it. And he was in the belly of the whale. But he realized, he said, man, these steps that I'm taking, man, they got me in the belly of the whale. This ain't it right here. I'll start following after steps that's been ordered for me. And the Bible said that he went to Nineveh and he started telling them about God. And he said that the people repented. These wicked, these people were wicked. But since his steps were ordered, he said that the people got saved. The people repented.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to stop. I can't. That's too much.
Go ahead.
I can't.
Go ahead.
What about Jacob? Can I use Jacob as an example? Father taught him how to be like that.
Yes,
he stole the birthright from Esau. All the things that he was doing and all that. And the Bible says that he wrestled with the angel. And God changed his step. In other words, he gave him a new step. Because when the angels, when he got to wrestling with the angel, they said that he had a limp. But he still was following the steps of God. He had a new walk. He had a new talk. But God had honored his step. And not only that, he said, I don't even want you to be associated with your old name. I don't even give you a name change because your steps are ordered. But his steps was on. He said, don't call me Jacob no more, because you know how we get a street name and people still call you by your street name. And you know everything that was associated with your street name. Boy, you was a bad actor out there. And they start kept calling your street name. Who is that? My name been changed because my steps have been ordered. Don't call me by that. My name is Israel. It was imputed to us. Because we're not good in us. And even Paul, in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he said, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. See, because our own steps ain't nothing good about it in our flesh. And that's what happens with us. Our flesh get us off course. He said, but the good thing was always present with me. That's why God, that's why Jesus Christ is the good thing. He's the good man. He's the one that makes you the good man. He's the one that orders your step. And Paul realized that even man, this stuff that's going on in the inside of me, there's a spiritual struggle within me. Because my flesh say this, but my spirit say this. And sometimes I fall short, but the good thing is always present. The good man. The steps of a good man. The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. I want you to remember that, people of God. It's not us that's good. It's just like we talk about the seed cannot see. It's always present when we say yes. But we got to perfect that thing. We got to practice on righteousness. We got to practice doing good. We got to practice doing what God says we have to do. He delights in that. It says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. He love it. He love it when we do right. He love it when we follow out his commandments. He love it. And so I hope this message was a blessing to you today. That we have a good understanding of what Psalms 37 and 23 says to us. God bless you and God keep you.